Oh shit. Oh shit. It's going off now.
Highway Diary, this is Eric Hollerbach. I'm sitting with
Emily Hollerbach,
aka
Tiger Bomb.
I'm Eric Hollerbach, the Eagle. Caca. That's just our intros. I'm sitting here with Mark Briscoe. We are in the Roswell UFO Museum and Research Center. Mark Briscoe is the director. How do you do, sir?
I'm fine. And you?
I'm great. So we were just looking around the museum, and you have a lot of great stuff here. You also have a very impressive research center, a library with a tremendous amount of articles about UFOs, everything.
Right.
So do you want to give an overview over this facility here?
We originally opened our doors in 1996. We are classified as a pop culture museum. We are a nonprofit because we work with the education as well. Our library is classified as the second largest in the world pertaining to UFO phenomenon, crop circles, abductions. We have over 56,000 individual pieces in the library. When we started off with 20 books and 12 periodicals, so we've really acquired quite a bit. The only one that has more than us in one area is the Vatican.
Right.
And we do have a direct contact with the Vatican, and we share information back and forth.
Wow, that's interesting. So what is he's the Vatican librarian, and you guys have a correspondence?
Well, I have many librarians at the Vatican.
I don't think a lot of people know about the Vatican's involvement in UFO research.
Well, they recently came out and told their parishioners it's all right to believe in E.T.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you believe that God's a creator of heaven and earth.
But then they started a massive undertaking, it sounds, to archive, you know.
Oh, they've been doing this forever. There's paintings hanging in the Vatican that are dated before Christ that have UFOs and flying saucers in the paintings themselves.
Wow, that's awesome. My favorite thing out in the museum is that anything to do with Area 51, right? Because if you're walking towards Area 51, the guards are allowed to shoot and kill you. Now, it seems to me like if it's a free country and where our tax dollars are going to the good of the public, you know, and then the government has such a secret facility where they're allowed to shoot and kill anyone approaching Area 51, it just seems to me like the information in there, they claim national security, right? It seems like the information in there would shatter the paradigm of most Americans, whether it's free energy technology, like, you know, you're able to run your car on something other than gas, you know,
right.
Which is just like it would either kill all the oil conglomerates or there's aliens in there, you know what I mean? So it just seems like, I don't know, Area 51 is really the thing that makes me think about aliens, you know?
Area 51 is nothing but a test facility, and it's in an actual base. All your major research, or even aliens, supposedly, and all the scientific work is actually done at Wright-Patterson in Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, okay.
Not Area 51. Area 51 is a test facility.
So why is it so secret where they'll kill you if you walk towards it?
I don't believe they'll kill you if you're walking towards it. If you go on their perimeter, they have the right to shoot you.
You think the most likely thing they'll do is just lock you up and fine you and harass you and stuff?
Yes, they're not going to shoot you.
So what makes you think that all the alien stuff is in Ohio and all the bodies?
Because that's where everything went from here. It went from here to Fort Worth, and then from Fort Worth, it went to Wright-Patterson in Dayton, Ohio. Mm. Wright-Patterson is more scientific than a lot of people would ever believe. I mean, we have, of course, the labs in New Mexico that do a lot of work for the military, but Wright-Patterson is their main scientific research facility for the military and has been for years.
And is it public domain?
No.
Oh, it's top secret.
Yes.
What
do you think is the most compelling piece of evidence here that you have here?
Were the people who were involved in the 1947, the founder of the museum, Mr. Glenn Dennis, Walter Haught. Lieutenant Walter Haught is a gentleman who was public relations, who was ordered to release to the Associated Press that, yes, the saucer had crashed here. Glenn Dennis had some dealings with, he was a mortician. He had some dealings with the base, dealing with the bodies and all this kind of stuff.
And they gave statements right afterwards before they decided?
No. People need to remember, and fortunately y'all are young enough, you have really, you've heard of it, but we had just come out of World War II, which affected every living human being on this planet. From rich to poor, it didn't matter. I mean, so it was a world-affecting situation. The beginning of the Cold War and communism, however that may be. And when your bosses told you, the military told you to shut your mouth, it was of national security. After what everybody had gone through, the Great Depression, the wars, the lives that were lost, you kept your mouth shut. You know, my conclusion to the fact is we were a lot more patriotic on civil duty, civil obligations as to what we're dealing with now. We are dealing with a generation, several generations of entitlement. Well, I'm entitled. Well, no, you're not. Why are you entitled?
Because we pay taxes to this government, and they're supposed to be serving us, and they should share any information that they receive to the public.
The world is surrounded with idiots. You know it, and I know it. The last Hades Comet that went through, look how many people committed mass suicide because they were going to get on the tail and the great mothership that was coming through. Look at what happened in South America when all these people followed that one crazy guy out there. Committed mass suicide, young, old, whole families, whole generations were wiped out. The radio program War of the Worlds actually caused mass hysteria.
So it seems like you're making an argument for keeping the truth of alien thing like a secret. You think if there was full disclosure, there'd be mass hysteria?
I'm responding to her question,
okay,
which was, why not? We pay our taxes. Sure. Well, there's really things that you really probably don't want to know.
I want to know.
I don't want to know. I think it would give you such a negative outlook on the human race. That is just my personal opinion. We murder people daily. All nations do.
Yeah. I know that.
I mean, you know.
Emily and I are big conspiracy researchers. That's also kind of why we.
You could probably handle it. And you, sir, could probably handle it. But the average person cannot handle the truth, unfortunately.
Should we run our society to the lowest common denominator of human being? If they can't handle it, then that's their problem.
It seems
I agree with what you're saying. But the fact of it is, okay, they come out and they tell us everything. For one thing, we're going to be appalled.
Yeah.
We're not going to like our government. We're not going to like any government. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is.
Because they've been keeping it secret.
They've kept many things secret.
If they were open from the beginning, we wouldn't be shocked and appalled right now.
I don't think people could have handled it in 1947.
Do you think there will be a time when people will be able to handle it? What do you think of December 21st, 2012? Do you think that there's going to be a mass spiritual awakening on the planet and aliens are coming back, any of that stuff?
I truly have no opinion on that. I mean, everybody says, well, the Maya calendar ran out. Well, sure it did, and then it starts over. Mm-hmm. Come on, that's common sense, people. I mean, you know, there are cycles in everything.
What you're saying to me is interesting because you run a UFO museum and research center, which seems to be an institution that is trying to disseminate truth,
Right.
So it seems like – but also there's another side of you which is kind of saying that not everyone can handle it. It seems like there's a discrepancy there.
Well, I'm not a big conspiracist for one thing. I mean, I know it's there. You know it. I know it. We have common intelligence. I'm a retired college professor with 4 degrees. I consider myself very, very intelligent. But dealing with human nature, one of my degrees is in psychology. Nah. Some things, yes, I think people could handle. But when it comes to the unknown, the actual unknown of aliens maybe being here, sharing technology, whatever it may be, no.
What do you think would happen?
If they actually shared everything, there would be a total collapse of world economy, and it wouldn't be just our economy. It would be all economy. I truly believe that they do have the ability to give you free power for the rest of your life.
I'm really big into that. And I think...
But the reality of it is, if you eliminate the oil companies, and it would be worldwide, there would be no world economy left.
So my feeling on this, Mark, is that I think that right now what we have is a bunch of economies and governments which are based in lies solely. It's like lie after lie after lie, building this false paradigm around people's minds, kind of putting people's minds in some kind of prison, in some kind of box where they don't understand the fact that there, you know, maybe there is aliens out there. Maybe there is free energy technology. Maybe there is all these things that other dimensions like astral projection. We were just came from Sedona, which a lot of people believe in, all that new age stuff. So I'm saying, like, I think that it would be a beautiful thing if all these governments collapsed at once and we started all new afresh with the full utilization of truth and free energy technology.
And human ingenuity. We would develop a whole new economy. It's not like we would have no economy.
Based on human potential instead of based on lies.
What's going to support you when the world economy fails worldwide? And I'm talking not just the oil. That will be the pharmaceutical companies, because a lot of derivatives are from the oil. That would be all manufacturing. That would be all power plants. I mean, yes, some of this stuff you could bring up, but it's not just Exxon Corporation. It's Exxon and every human being that works or has any relationship with that company.
Sure.
How are you going to feed those people? How are you going to give those people a paycheck?
So I think that what would happen is that humans are very adaptable.
Yes, we are. But you're not answering my question. How are you going to support those 15 million people all of a sudden?
We would go back to a structure of smaller communities. Smaller communities would grow their own food. Smaller communities would produce their own goods.
So how many people are going to starve to death? How many people are going to commit murder?
Because
I've got to feed my family. Excuse me, honey, you're going down. Because if it comes to me feeding my family and me taking everything that you've got, more than likely I'm going to take everything you've got to feed and support my family. I'm not saying it's right and I'm not saying it's moral. I understand what you're saying. I truly do. But because this has been structured for hundreds and hundreds of years, you cannot let it collapse and think it's going to rebuild. It will take hundreds of years.
Definitely.
So,
and I'm prepared for that eventually.
90% of the people you know might die. Family members, friends, kids, it doesn't matter. Are you as an individual willing, just for the truth on certain things? I mean, it's an ugly situation, no doubt.
So you think that, like, the Area 51, whenever they say national security, you think that they're pointing to if the fact of aliens and free energy technology and all these things were made available, all this information was made available to society, that there would be this 100 years of collapse and until we could rebuild and 90% of the people would have to die until we could rebuild?
Unfortunately, yes. And it's because it's gone on for so long.
Right. Exactly. Now there's new lies. If they just start telling us the truth now, it wouldn't be building off. They're sharing
some things. But as long as you have another country that wants to destroy you and vice versa.
You're talking about the U.S. destroying other countries? Because that's pretty much what's going on.
And they're all the mainstream media.
I'm not even going to have that discussion with you.
Okay. So would it be better if we release the truth slowly? One thing at a time.
I would think so. I mean, you're going to have to break people in. Let's face it. You know as well as I will. If I can convince you strong enough, you're going to follow me over that cliff. Regardless. You'll follow me over that cliff to your death. It's a proven fact. It's happened over and over. And it's in our human nature.
Well, I wouldn't. But I guess that's Darwinism.
But that's our human nature.
Well, that's the weakest individual's human nature.
We're surrounded. 99% of the people you're around may be some of the weakest people you're ever, other than saying your brother.
I don't want to be lied to because of those individuals. I'm strong enough to handle the truth.
Yes.
So why should I be kept in the dark because of those morons?
That's the way it is. I agree. I agree with you. Our Industrial Revolution ran about 500 years. Okay? In a matter of 30 years, we surpassed those 500 years after the 1947 incident. I believe a lot of our technology came from reverse engineering. I'm a very intelligent person. You're a very intelligent person. But I don't think we're smart enough to have made the advancements in 30 years that we did without having help from someone who's smarter than us.
What?
The fact of it is, these governments have dug such a deep hole for everyone.
Well, I guess
it's very similar to the lead up to the war with Iraq.
But I think what I'm saying here, Mark, is that if we had Barack Obama, for example, right. And I'm giving an example now, to smoothly transition in a competent fashion from oil to free energy technology, from ignorance to like truth, you know, in a competent fashion where we can actually have a new industrial revolution, a new economy based on the best possible medicine. We would have to build new hospitals without radiation machines blasting people who have tumors. And also you could have skyscrapers made with free energy robots, and free energy robots could harvest food that's hydroponically grown with all free energy light bulbs.
So what are you going to do with all the people that harvest the food?
I think this is what I'm saying. I think that if you base an economy based on free energy, then the free energy would save the backs of the laborers, and then this whole society would be structured on education and the whole and self improvement, and I think that, you know, we have all these modern conveniences now. We have dishwashers, we have washing machines, we have all these things to make our lives slightly easier, right? But
recorders,
this lovely Zoom.
You should be sitting here writing everything word for word. See, we as human beings pick and choose. You can't stand here. I mean, and you can, and I'm not trying to be critical. I'm giving you another point of view. How then can you stick that in my face and ask me to talk into it when you have two hands, a pencil, and a piece of paper?
It's efficiency. But this isn't taking away anyone's job.
But what I'm saying is it's still a part of it.
But then
it goes to the next, and then to the next, and to the next. Everything is interconnected. I am your brother. I'm your brother. And I am obligated as a human being with morals and standards to be there for you and to help you in any way possible that you can.
Sure.
I mean,
I don't want the kind of help that's going to leave me ignorant and working in a crop field
when I could have
a different job of building like an amazing new city and civilization. With the advent of the car, people thought that, you know, the horse and buggy whole system, because that was an economy,
would collapse. Right.
With the advent of machines, people thought that the jobs of manually putting together things would collapse. This is the same thing. People are afraid of change, but change brings new jobs as well.
The sad part of it is it has gotten so large.
The amount of lies you're saying?
No, the amount of the economy based on oil, all carbons, you know, energy, has gotten so large, unfortunately, that's what rules the world.
And who's benefiting, though? The people? No.
It seems like a small...
Well, I think we benefit to a point.
Who?
You
I'm
do.
Not benefiting. From what an oil economy?
You are in pharmaceuticals, medication, yes, you are. Fertilizers to grow better crops. And see, that's the hard part. If you do a web and put the oil economy here, and you start branching out, this room would not be big enough for all the different branches that would come from this one thing.
I am in that web because I have no other choice. At any opportunity I choose not to be in that web.
I do the same thing. I totally agree. I totally agree.
If I could buy a car that ran out of water, which was invented by Stan Meyer, and then he was poisoned after he invented it, some general came over and poisoned him.
I believe that.
If I could buy that car, I would.
But instead,
I have to go to the pump. I have to put my life savings just watching it pump as the meter goes through.
You like electricity. You like heat. You like to cook your food.
I love all that stuff.
I mean,
I would rather it be.
Don't get me wrong. But you see, It touches everything, unfortunately. But it does.
But it doesn't have to.
No, honey, it doesn't have to. I agree with you. I totally do. I liked it when things were simpler. I truly did. I mean, the technology. I mean, your cell phone today is more powerful than what it took to go to the moon. That's outstanding.
I totally agree with that. Totally, I mean, absolutely. Our technology is getting better every year. That's why I have this awesome recorder that is like very, like I hear it in my headphones right now. The audio quality is excellent.
Right. I mean, we've all benefited from it. But it's gotten so large, it would collapse the world. Unfortunately, it would.
But
I disagree. I think that it would mean the collapse of governments, probably. You're right. Corporations, yes. And rich people.
And every people that they employ.
Yeah,
right.
But I
then
think
they would have different jobs, like jobs that we can't even conceive of right now because this technology doesn't exist.
Well, yeah, but until you conceive of it, it's a pipe dream.
People couldn't conceive of skyscrapers before they came into reality.
Right.
People couldn't conceive of, you know, Manhattan the way that it looks today before it came into reality.
But still, I think you're missing the point on, yes, they couldn't conceive skyscrapers, but we did get to that point, and we're building them higher and bigger all the time. But the fact of it is, you're not understanding. Everyone you probably know would die. Unfortunately, or be murdered. Unfortunately. And I hate to think as human beings were that shallow, because I truly try to live my life every day that I am your brother, you are my sister, and I am obligated as a human being, as a Christian, a Muslim, whatever you are, you're still obligated just from being a decent person. I'm obligated for your well-being. But when I can't do anything for you, you can't do anything for me, and it gets right down to survival, they're going to take you out.
I agree with you. And so I do agree with the slow, controlled release of information. Right, stop the lies right now. Stop new lies right now.
I don't know if they can. I agree. I totally agree.
Then I don't want this government.
It's every government. There is no government in this world that doesn't do this.
Then I think that a total collapse of society is better than living in this lie that we're living in today.
What's the lie doing? Why is the lie hurting you today? In comparison of collapsing of all governments and all economies, there'd be no production of food. There'd be no canneries.
It's giving everyone I know cancer because we're using GMO foods. We're using pesticides that cause cancer.
I agree.
Everything
we had an uncle recently die of cancer, and he was jogging
right
all day.
He was totally healthy, but it's our food is poisoning us.
She just had her fourth brain surgery. Yeah. I deal with this.
So everyone I know is already dying from the system that we're currently living in. Would it be better to die from the truth or die from being lied to? I think it's better to die from the truth.
And I also think that, like, if you look at the reason why slavery is bad, and if you look at in China right now, there's this company called Foxconn, which has Chinese employees living in dormitories. They're always committing suicide, and they're putting together Apple products. So this company called – well, why is that evil? Well, in my opinion, that is evil because slavery is taking away the ability for someone to reach their full potential.
All based on world economy, unfortunately.
Yeah. So,
no, I agree with you.
And so
we die a slow, ignorant death, or we die all at once. Let's go to town and fight the government that exists today.
It just seems like I want an economy, a new, beautiful economy that celebrates and supports the becoming the every human on earth accessing their full potential, becoming the best person they can be. This is, in my opinion, what America was actually founded on: new inventions. We always thought that, you know, America is so ingenuitive. Look at all the inventions they're coming out because they have a free society, they have free minds, open minds, so they can invent new things. And I think that you are dooming the economy, you're dooming freedom, you're dooming America when someone comes out with a car made of water and then you poison that person. I think that's the most evil thing possible. If you take away our inventors, if you take away new technology, whether it be from aliens or whether it be from our species, when you take that away, you're robbing humans of its greatest resource, which is its smartest people inventing the coolest shit. And if you kill those people, if you take those people out and you just instead want to have this pyramid that funnels money to three old men because they're destroying the environment, digging oil out of the ground, I just think that is fundamentally evil, and we shouldn't be supporting that just because those evil men who are in Masonic lodges all day, you know, molesting kids ritualistically so that they can be a 33rd degree Mason, because, you know, these are the barriers.
Now, how do you know this?
Well, I do
I'm
a lot
of Mason. How do you know this?
Because I research a lot about Aleister Crowley. Okay. I know about how the
and
way.
Do you think this still continues to this day?
I think there's no question it still continues
really?
To this.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
I think
that's fine.
I think if it's
not the normal Masons. This is like the top like 0.5% of
okay,
all the Masons in the world.
You're kind of slapping me in the face a little bit, and it's like,
are you a Freemason?
Yes, I am.
I see. Okay.
Third generation.
How? What degree are you, sir?
We'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
It's not the everyday Masons.
Okay, I'm going to give you 40 acres tomorrow, and I'm going to give you 40 acres. I'm going to do you a favor and give you a cow, a bull, and a horse. And I'm going to allow you to have the clothes on your body. That's all you're getting.
If I had a book on agriculture...
No book.
I'd be absolutely screwed in the scenario. I have no
See,
idea what to... I would
I'm
eat
saying.
The donkey on the first day. I have
See,
no idea what
you
to
me
do.
Both. See, I totally agree with that. And what you're saying is it's better to let everything collapse, let the world people die who can't survive, and we go back to that because we are capable of surviving. But honestly, 90% of the people in this world will just, you might as well just get a gun and shoot them. And we're not going to give you any weapons either. We're not going to give you a knife. You're going to create your own tools. You're going to figure out how to get the seeds to plant to live. You're going to figure out how you're going to survive with that cow.
I'm prepared
for this, actually.
I mean, you think you are, honey. I admire you. My hat's off to both of you. I mean, this is why it's great to actually live where we live.
And also look at the Gulf of Mexico. I think that where there was the oil spill recently, I think that if cars, for example, were ran on water instead of oil, then the water in the Gulf of Mexico would be worth more than the oil which is currently seeping into it and polluting it and giving all the shrimp weird toxins. I think almost everything would be free. And
they can't control seawater.
You'd be surprised what they could control.
If you could desalinate seawater into clean water with a free energy device, then it's like, okay, your energy is free. Your car is free. What you have to pay for is other humans to educate you.
The car is not free. How's the car free?
Well, you would have to pay for the car. Exactly. So, I'm sorry.
With a new economy.
Right. I see what you're saying in many ways. But if you honestly think, and I think it'd be wonderful to put a garden hose in my tank and fill it up. Go down here and fill up the generating plant for electricity. Whatever it may be, water isn't going to be free.
Rainwater will be free.
That would be it.
Seawater.
I don't think it'd be free. The seawater might be free, but for you to have the ability to desalinate, it ain't going to be free.
Sure. Well, you can set up just simple little systems to desalinate water.
But they would outlaw every part that it would take to make that machine, just like they're trying to do that with making nuclear power.
Well, that's exactly what we're trying to fight against.
Right. But this is what I'm saying. They will still have some control. Nothing will ever be free. The only thing that's free is the air, and it's not that free because they're polluting it night and day.
Exactly. This is what we're
saying. And by breathing it, we have to buy stuff to make us survive, mm-hmm. however it may be. I mean, unfortunately, no, it won't be free.
I think we have to buy things to... to cover up for their lies. It's just like more and more lies. So, you're going to pollute the air? Well, I personally have a distillation. I drink only distilled water, right. And then I put calcium tablets in it.
Right.
Because the water coming out of the faucets has fluoride in it. And if you look at the sodium fluoride, I think, if you look at the ingredients of rat poison, what it is? Sodium fluoride. You know what's in the water, in the tap water? Sodium fluoride. It is, you're drinking, every time you're drinking tap water, you're drinking a low dose of rat poison constantly,
right,
all day. So why is it, like, it shouldn't be based
on... I get what you're saying, because, like, in Bolivia, PepsiCo went to Bolivia, and they took over, basically, the entire economy there.
Right.
And they actually made it illegal to own your own personal rain collection device.
Right. This is what I'm saying.
Which is just ridiculous.
Well, no, I agree. I totally agree with you. But they would do that. Don't kid yourself.
But I think that we are strong enough in America to fight that. Like, once you take out, like, the...
You're strong enough. I may be strong enough. But 80% of the people in this world are not. That's why I go back to a generation of entitlement.
Yes. I do feel entitled.
I do feel entitled
as
for the
American,
truth. That's
as
it.
Did our founders.
No, okay, we're not talking about the truth. I'm talking about entitlement to go to the doctor, to buy gas, to go to be able to go to a grocery store, to have all the free medical care that you can have. Don't get me wrong. I find it totally appalling that our older generation has to choose between medication and food. That's immoral. That is one of the most horrendous things that I think we've ever done. We do not honor our elders, and I think that's horrible.
And I currently I only have dental. I don't have medical. If I get injured, I have to go to an urgent care in Los Angeles. You know, that's how I get my medical.
But shouldn't the care of the elderly be the responsibility of the families? That's how it is in other countries for the most part.
You know, it is, but when you have generations upon generations of entitled people that feel like they're not going to take care of them. They're not going to. They don't do it now. Go to a nursing home. It's appalling. Totally appalling. Like I told my daughter, I said, as long as I have a mind, you can put me in a shed in the backyard. I'll do what I can do to help. You know, but that's not the way it is. I'm too busy. I can't deal with it. Put Mama in the nursing home. Put Papa in the nursing home. And that happens daily. You know it. I know it, unfortunately. I know elderly people that have worked all their lives, paid their taxes, and then when they retire, they have to choose between dog food and medicine, and they're eating the damn dog food. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just trying to give you my perspective.
That's what we're here for.
You know, and I appreciate everything you said, and I know you don't agree with everything I said, but I guarantee you I've done nothing but speak the most honest truth.
We really appreciate you.
That I could to you.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's so if I kind of got flustered, it's like, I just want you to understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, all of it. And it would be wonderful if we could do that, honey.
And I totally understand.
No doubt.
No,
I mean, you know, no doubt.
Mark, we had a bit of a debate here, but I think it was beautiful. I think we've enlightened a lot of people today with our combined experience. One thing I want to do. I mentioned Freemasonry
right.
briefly, and you, it seemed to offend you a little bit because you're a Freemason, right?
I was an educator for many years, and I've put many a parent, a many a relative, and a many a neighbor in prison for molestation of children. That is a real picky tough situation for me.
Were they Masons, may I ask?
No, not a one of them.
Mm. Now, the reason...
And me being a Mason and knowing what kind of person I am, yeah, I took a little offense to it. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm not saying it's true. But I'm not saying it's not, you know... I can't say for sure... But, and the reason I think I took offense to it is because I know how I feel about children.
Mm.
What we do as consenting adults among us, swing from the tree.
Mm.
You have that right.
Mm.
And I will defend you to have that right. But no one ever, ever has a right to do that to a child.
And from my research, there's branches of Freemasonry. Very dark and evil
right,
branches
right.
that were forged by people like Aleister Crowley, for
right.
example, who's written in his own works things like you know, it's public domain knowledge that the only reason he got into the OTO, the Ordo Templo Orientalis, which is a very advanced degree of Freemasonry, which is and it's based on sex magic, really. And at the top level, it's, you know, he's the only reason he got in was because he was writing in his books about sacrificing children, about molesting children to become one with Lucifer, right, to become one, to get the highest advances. And then when you research the top people, the people who know, there's like maybe four old men who know about UFOs, free energy technology, and they're actively suppressing it. And you know what I mean? They're probably giving themselves the best medicine possible to live very, very long. It seems like this is what they're engaged in, and this is their religion. And I'm not saying that all Freemasons are like this. I think 99% of them, it's like a social drinking club, and they're very enlightened people because they're looking at all this stuff that we're talking about.
And it's a lot of charity work, too.
So. I mean, you know, there's – every day that you get in a car, every day that you flip a light switch, every day that you take any medication whatsoever, you're contributing to the lies.
I take zero medication. I only take herbs and vitamin supplements. That's true.
You use an air conditioner. You use a heater.
I totally agree. I wish I had choice to use it.
I agree with you. You see what I'm saying? But the only way it's going to change is for the good Lord to come back. That's just the way I kind of look at it. The aliens are here. They haven't gone anywhere. I truly believe that.
Why don't they help us out?
I think they've helped us out immensely. Yeah. But I don't think it's their right. I think they have morals to the point that they don't have a right to come in here and restructure everything. Mm-hmm. We are free will, free thinking. And they realize that, in my opinion. So we're going to give you this information, but we're not going to make you use this information. We're going to help you with your technology, and hopefully we steer you in some directions that you're not just wiping out everybody and everything overnight. I do believe that they've tried to help us in that. And I believe that aliens are children of God just like we are. If you believe that God created the heavens and the earth, you know, I have no problem with atheists. That's something they have to deal with. It doesn't affect me as a person. I mean, it may somewhere along the line, but I think that they respect human life enough to say, well, if these people are idiots enough to destroy themselves,
we should let them. That's what they want to do.
We'll help them. We'll give them this technology, but how they use it is up to them. Mm-hmm. That's just like if I give you a gun for hunting, how you use that gun is up to you. Whether you do it for sport, whether you do it to survive, or whether you commit murder, it is your choice. But I'm going to give you the tool to do whatever it is. I'm going to give you the education to do what you can with it. It's up to you. Because you're a free-willed, thinking human being. And I think that's how they look at us. Things can be so simple like it used to be, unfortunately. When I was a kid, we could ride our bikes all day Saturday after we got our chores done, take our 30-cent allowance that we busted our butts for in our mind and go to the movies and get a hamburger. And as long as we were, our parents knew where we were going, as long as we were home by 5:00 in the afternoon, you can't do that today.
We had a very similar childhood experience.
I mean, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't have to be in the summer until the street lights were on. We better be in the front yard when those street lights came on. Yeah. Or we got our butts beat. I mean, you know, we had to be within whistling hearing range of Dad. Once he whistled, he looked at his clock. We had so much time to get out. I mean, bye, see you later. And here we were going.
Yeah.
You know, running home. Laying outside and looking at the stars. Mm-hmm. What happened?
We were just actually in Peach Springs, Arizona before this, and we stayed at a hotel called Crystal Caverns, something
Sky Lodge?
No, before that. The Caverns Inn.
Oh, yeah.
And it seemed like that hotel, like, it's as we've been driving around, it seems like America is very depressed right now. A lot of people, it seems like hotels don't have a lot of people in them, you know, as we're driving. Maybe it's off season as well. But
it
just
is off season.
I'm sure it is. It's approaching Thanksgiving. But I also have this feeling, this tremendous feeling that, like, and they were saying that we were really big in the 50s and 60s, like this Route 66 motel that we were at and stuff. And
of
it just
course,
seems
they put the interstate in.
Yeah, and it seems to be, obviously there's a highway reason in which that motel doesn't have a lot of patronage. But also it seems like we have been seeing a little bit of depression, a little bit of poverty as we've been going across the country. And it seems to me like everyone knows that it's, I don't know, everyone has this feeling that something is off. That some, even if they don't fully know all the things that we've been talking about here, they know that something's off. They know that, you know, their lives, it's harder to get food in the fridge. It's harder to do these. It's harder to make a living. It's, you know, these are more complicated times. You have to be smarter and more agile to kind of like make it in this world.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So what's the issue? Let's bring all the truth out. And every human being you know will be living exactly like that, but 10 times worse.
But that's the path that we're on currently.
Well, I think we are to a point, not in your lifetime, honey, not in my lifetime, not in my grandkids' lifetime either. But yes, we are definitely heading to that point. I can't dispute that whatsoever. And I would stand beside you and scream it just as loud as you are. Yes. Mm-hmm. But
I just have this feeling that all the answers are there. All they need to do is be competently implemented. That's really I think this the problem.
But you know, I think they possibly could do that, but we're talking 100 years if not longer to implement all those things properly without causing mass hysteria, mass starvation, and the total collapse of all economies.
If
there's still going to be that nut, unfortunately, that's going to, well, I'm losing everything, let's fire every damn missile we have.
And then that's based on the satanic controllers that are currently there, where they would think that it would be an option.
I know no country that doesn't have them. I know no religion that doesn't have them. None.
That doesn't have nuclear weapons? Or
that doesn't have that attitude.
Those controllers.
Unfortunately. Excuse me, it's a fucked up world. And there is no other way to honestly describe it. Your auntie, your mama, your mammy. I'll take those
flannel zebra jammies secondhand and rock that motherfucker. The built-in onesie with the you were saying earlier that, like, if I led you off a cliff, then a lot of people would follow me off
Absolutely.
The cliff. But also, I think if you lead someone to enlightenment, if you lead someone to friendship, if you lead someone to abundance, if you lead someone to the truth, then the truth will set the people free, I feel. And I you know what I'm saying? And I feel like this is my – if we had competent leadership –
What's going to give you the ability to lead these people? When everything has collapsed.
But I think that collapsing an economy based on lies, oil, it is a good thing. It's almost like the phoenix. Now it's, you know, we can base an economy based on taking like dirty, dusty boilers out of buildings and and putting in like a small energy efficient little unit that'll heat water. And you know what I'm saying? I think that we can base an economy on the transition. I don't see it as doom and gloom collapse.
It's a transition.
Yeah.
But the way you make it sound like, let's do it all right now. And if let it fall where it falls.
No, I think competently and actively, aggressively
I think
transitioning.
We agree on that. Slow yeah. release. Slowly.
It would
over
have
time.
To be a very slow release.
Sure.
All right, maybe 20 years. I don't think 100 years.
It ain't gonna happen.
Well, if you started implementing the technology, if you didn't have to, like, you know.
It's not a perfect world. It's not going to happen in 20 years.
I agree.
It's not going to happen in my lifetime or your lifetime.
I agree.
It's going to take a long, long, long time. It took many, many years to get here, and it's going to take many, many years to fix it.
Mm-hmm. Once we get on the path to fix
right,
it.
Right.
We're not even on that path.
In some areas, we try, and they slap us down every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just like global warming. Mm-hmm. Okay, people, look around you. Hello. God forbid you're in New York when that happened. God forbid you're in California or wherever it is. I mean, you know, it's...
Just had Hurricane Sandy rip through New York City.
Yeah. Well, why do we care about those people? Why do we care if they have electricity?
I don't.
I don't.
What people? Care. New Yorkers? Are
Any
you
New Yorkers?
I care a lot. I have a lot of friends in New York. I went to college in New York.
But they're going to die for the greater good.
I don't see why dying for the greater good is a noble thing.
The truth is the greater good. What you're saying is that with the truth should be revealed, he's saying that everyone in New York would die if that happened, your friends included.
See, you can't pick and choose. No. There's no picking and choosing here.
I just don't see.
If we're going to let all the truth out and we want all this stuff to happen, which it needs to, I'm not just going against that, but you don't get to pick and choose.
I'm in this big ass coat from that thrift shop down the road.
I just see these people as just victims of a culture that is primarily concerned with the irrelevant, with MTV or fashion or drinking or whatever, because the culture is set up where, those things are cool and those things
right,
are fun.
Right, absolutely.
And it's not in the culture to know that you should maybe grow some food in your apartment or, something like this. So I just see those people as victims of a planned ignorance by demonic overlords.
I don't see them as victims, though, because they have the same access to information that I have.
Thank you. See, that's what I'm saying. That's, again, going back to the ignorance and stupidity. I have no tolerance for stupid people. I truly don't. You're stupid. Get away from me.
I see it as intentional ignorance, though, because these people are actually very intelligent. They're, super intelligent people, educated. But they choose to believe what they're told.
And they've compartmentalized themselves in making a living based on something like, writing articles for fashion magazines. That's how they make a living.
How do you discriminate or just have discrepancies between what's correct and what's not? How do you choose? You choose to get in the car. You choose to put fingernail polish on. You make many choices that go back against everything that you're saying you're against.
This is organic.
But you see what I'm saying, though? I mean, are your clothes all organic?
No.
I think it's also it's the choice.
We're so screwed. Unfortunately, we are. Yeah. We are. And we know what we need to do, but I don't think we can do it in a short. I'm talking hundreds of years.
Yeah.
I think it could be done. I mean, I worry about what's going to be there for my great-grandkids. Mm-hmm. What's the weather going to be like? Mm-hmm. I mean, as a parent, and you'll see one day. I'll wear your
granddad's clothes. So what do you think should happen to our current politicians on Capitol Hill?
Well, if they don't start working together. This country, a nation, was founded on compromise. And they're hell-bound to me. I'm not compromising on anything. That is my biggest fear, is the lack of compromise amongst people. You and I have compromised today. Where would we be if you wanted to talk to me about it? And I said, absolutely not, because of the way you feel or that you think's wrong. And that's just like you refusing to talk to me for the way that I feel. Okay. Because that's exactly what's happening in Washington.
Exactly. It's too emotionally driven.
Oh, it's just like, oh, please.
I think
what's best for everyone.
Right.
You know what? So your party may not make as much money. Who cares?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Instead of just like playing all these politics where you're holding the good of the country hostage.
For your party.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Strictly. For your party.
I'd like to drag.
How else can you justify that?
I'd like to drag a guillotine on Capitol Hill and just go take them out one by one. Oh, there's a lot of lobbyists in your office right now. Boom, dead.
Boom. Well, you're a lobbyist.
For what?
For what you want.
For the humankind.
That's right.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying by lobbyists. A very well-funded pharmaceutical lobbyist or, oil lobbyist.
You're picking and choosing.
We're lobbyists for the truth.
We're lobbyists for the good of the planet.
He's talking about lobbyists who are working for companies.
No, I agree. Well, if you want my money, mm-hmm. You've got to make sure my oil company stays in business. If you want to my money, you've got to make sure that my state gets what it wants, or my pharmaceutical company gets the breaks. You know, no, it's horrible.
Yeah, we all agree that politics today in America is just money chasing greed, chasing power, chasing corruption, chasing bullshit.
All over the world, not just America.
I totally agree. I think places like Brazil, I hear that Brazil is actually pretty good about, politics. Like there are places where the economy, places where they kicked out the IMF, places where they kicked out financial terrorists who are sent in by, like, the Council of Foreign Relations, IMF, these type of people. They go into these third world countries and try to bankrupt them. And actually, the reason also why I'm very hopeful for the future is there's 134 nations now who have signed treaties that are – they're trying to get rid of the debt slavery that the U.S.-based and Europe-based politicians are trying to hold them under. And 134 nations, like the BRIC alliance is what I'm talking about, Brazil, Russia, India, and China, is all kind of trying to get together and have a more benevolent society. They're trying to push back against this institutionalized oligarchy of ancient royal bloodline money and all this stuff.
I don't understand how you can put China and India in that category.
Well, I think that they're – I know that
– that's where I'm – I'm not saying they're not. I'm just – to me, that makes no common sense whatsoever.
Based on what we're seeing, I agree.
I understand too. And I'm quoting research done by this guy called Benjamin Fulford.
What's his credibility?
He was a Forbes Asia-Pacific journalist for 20 years. He was the bureau chief of Asia at Forbes magazine for 20 years. And then as he started to uncover – the corruption, right, and he started to put the pieces together that the whole system is rigged. Then he's got into the Japanese Freemasonry, and as he was initiated into those rites, he started to be connected to like the dark economy, like the secret government, and he started getting in with these people. And this is – and now, if I'm just giving a giant plug for BenjaminFulford.com right now. But if you – I follow his news. But he tends to think that a lot of governments around the world, namely the BRIC alliance, has become very keen on what – the powers that be are doing now, the oil powers that be, the pharmaceutical powers that be, and they're understanding that the world needs that there are all these solutions that the world can change, and they're starting to do things towards this.
So you're a big follower then
of what?
Of this gentleman.
Perhaps. Not everything.
I'm just saying.
Not everything.
I'm just saying, though.
Not everything. I think he's taught me how to think about these issues more than anything.
Because the fact of it is, if he says, all right, you're a true believer in what I believe and what I'm saying, then you come with me.
He's actually.
And we're going to live in this little society.
And then I'm going to be drinking Kool-Aid.
And where are you going to be? You're going to be right in the middle of it. We all have followers. This is what I'm saying. That's why people will follow other people over the cliff. You truly, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but you truly believe everything or a lot that this man stands for.
He's taught me how to think about it and whether or not.
But you're still a follower.
I totally agree with you.
In your own mind, you're free thinking. Don't get me wrong.
Everyone has gurus that they are enlightened by. Everyone has teachers that teach them. You are a professor. You know, you've thought it your duty to enlighten generations of people. Right, everyone has teachers. So that's all I'm saying about that.
Right. But I'm just wanted to point that out to you.
I totally agree with you. Yeah. I am
treating it as fact without doing your own research.
I have not done a lot of research.
Right. See, so but you're spouting, which is fine. All this stuff that he says and stands for. Now, no one actually knows. All we would be doing is studying constantly, doing research and stuff like that. But he still touches a place for you to be able to follow him and sit here and tell me, because this is based on this, this is based on that. He says this, he says that. You need to look in the mirror.
I have a lot of sources, though.
But you're still avoiding what I'm saying to you, whether you like it or not. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain?
I definitely have sources that, and every time
there's
you take
a lot that he tells me that Benjamin Fulford says that I'm like, that just sounds like utter bullshit.
Well, there's a couple things, and Benjamin Fulford isn't always right. He's given dates for things that he said were going to happen that hasn't happened. So I definitely take what he says with a grain of salt. But because he said that, you know, certain, like on this date, you know, America cannot make the financial requirements on, for example, you know, I think he started saying September 2009. That, you know, the X, Y, and Z are going to happen because the United States government is in debt to the point where it's statistically impossible for the regime to continue.
Right.
But somehow it seems like we're going on some kind of momentum, it seems now. It seems like we were probably bankrupt in the 90s and all this is momentum, you know what I mean?
Right, right. I think a lot of the economy still stems from 9/11 because the statement was even said right after this. It didn't affect just the United States. How many major players in the world economy have their major banks there, their investments there? So when those buildings came down, it affected the whole world economically. And they said it would take 10 years to hit all economies. And about 10 years, the whole world economy went to crap. Not that it wasn't hitting there anyway. Don't get me wrong. But it's we're still feeling the effects of something that happened just by knocking down two buildings.
Do you think that 9/11 was an inside job?
No. I have never.
We do, for sure.
Well, and that's fine. And the reason I want to say no is I...
It's emotional, right?
Yes, because it just makes me want to lay down and die to think that our government...
I understand that reaction.
Kill so many innocent people. I mean, war, they do the same thing, don't get me wrong. But there was no discrepancy.
When a drone strike misses the target and kills a million civilians in Iraq, a million innocent Iraqi people have died via drone strikes, primarily, also just people being killed, and you know, by Blackwater or these mercenary groups that aren't accountable to anybody who just go around killing people.
You know what? That war should have ended when his father was president.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's where we're headed with Iran now.
They screwed up when they stopped them from the invasion. They should have gone ahead and gone in there, took that crazy man out, and then went home.
Why? Why? It's not our country.
No, but we're morally obligated. Okay, let's say, so you have no problem with them killing all those people in Mexico?
Who
killing those people?
The cartel.
Oh, are you talking about the drug wars?
Whatever. It's not ours. Why do we care?
Well, there are drug cartels in Mexico right now who are basically running the government because any time a politician...
Well, it's a third world country, by all means. There's no middle class in Mexico. There never has been, and if they have their way, there'll never be.
I totally agree with you.
Because the wealthy keep the peasants, because the peasants just want enough food to get through the next day.
Yeah.
There is no middle class in Mexico.
I totally agree with you that is a massive problem.
Keep it that way. But why do we care? It's not our problem.
There are so many countries, though, like that. There are so many countries.
No, I agree.
Like
I agree.
The only reason we went to Iraq.
That they have a right to cut your head off because you're not wearing a veil? Do you think they have the right to shoot you because you want an education because you're a woman?
No, but I also don't think
it's not our problem. But it's not our problem. And
I have
not
enough
our
problems
problem.
In this country.
But I'm saying,
hey guys,
it's not our problem.
Over each other.
It's not our problem. So why do we care?
Well, I don't see the difference.
Exactly. I don't.
You don't care?
No.
That they're murdering innocent women, little girls, and children in other countries? Oh, well.
We are. We are murdering.
They do it to themselves.
But we're doing it.
No, we're not doing it to them. I'm talking about the Muslims right now, honey.
Yeah, so I'm talking about Iraq.
Africa's the same way.
So our drones go in and drop bombs.
I'm not talking about the drones. I'm talking about what they do to themselves.
I'm worried about fixing America. Before we fix America, I don't think we should be doing anything else.
And I think
you don't have compassion or morals for your mankind in the other part of the world. You're so narrow-minded that it's only for America.
Right now, because we're so broken.
No, it's not just right now. It would have to be. So you're going to change when everything gets fixed here? Then we're going to be the great saviors and go out to the other countries? We've already tried that. That's why we are where we are.
I just think what we're saying is because we're bankrupt multiple times over based on an economy based on lies that we don't have the moral authority to go around and stop people from stoning women to death who want an education. We don't have that moral authority yet because we're poisoning our food. We're poisoning people with the pharmaceutical companies. We're not standing on a moral superiority.
You have to choose.
Who are we to say what they should do?
No, I agree. But you're pickers and choosers.
No, I'm saying America.
You're part of America, honey.
Yeah.
And you sat right here and told me, so let them kill it. Let them beat them women to death. Let them shoot that little girl in the head because all she wanted to go to school. No. Let them go in and mutilate her sexually because that's the way it's supposed to be.
That's very emotionally charged.
I mean, you see what I'm saying? So
I'm saying logically, we have no moral foundation to stand on to go in other countries and tell them what to do.
But I don't think that's what's happening. We're not going into Iraq because they're killing each other. Right. We're going into Iraq to steal their oil, and we don't give a shit if a million civilians die.
We don't care what they're doing.
What I'm saying is, we were saying that 3,000 Americans died on 9/11.
Right.
And I don't think that in order to correct that, what we should do is kill a million Iraqis with drone strikes. I'm saying it's got to steal their oil. Right? So I'm saying that what happened on 9/11 was that it was like Pearl Harbor. And if you look at the Operation Northwoods, which is a neocon think tank headed by George Bush, headed by Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, evil. Dick Cheney doesn't have a heart anymore, ladies and gentlemen.
We've got horrible people in power.
And so what I'm saying is 9/11 had nothing to do with going into Iraq and liberating them because they were treating women poorly.
No, but that's the emotional – 9/11 gave us the emotional drive. It rallied the American people to go into Iraq for something totally different.
Right. No, I agree. I totally agree with that, 100%.
But I think we're isolationists in the point of view of let's make America the best country possible. If other countries saw us driving around in water cars, harvesting free energy hydroponic plants that were perfectly organic, perfectly nutritious, all our medicine was best, people were curing diseases with food, there were,
At that point. Okay, let's go help the world.
But it's not even going to be helping. It's going to be like, whoa, that is the best country possible. Look at all the shit they got.
And then we'll attract the best inventors again, like we were in the beginning of the 19th century.
Instead of spreading freedom with drone strikes going through orphans' faces. I don't think that's a way to spread freedom around, is what I'm saying.
I look incredible.
Mark Frisco, thank you so much for this interview. We took way more of your time.
I said
it was going to be 15 or 20. We've been recording for over an hour and 3 minutes now.
Really? I'll edit it down. Thank you so much.
This is Highway Diary. We're reporting from Roswell, New Mexico in the UFO Museum and Research Center. I've been Eric Hollerbach, a.k.a. The Eagle. Caw-caw!
And Emily Hollerbach, a.k.a. Tiger Bomb.
And Mark Frisco, thank you so much. The director of the UFO Museum and Research Center. Thank you so much for being open and honest with us, even though we disagreed a lot of the time.
That's all right. That's what makes it all good.
Totally.
If everybody agreed with me, it kind of made me paranoid.
Thank you so much,
You're
sir.
You're so
what
welcome.
A pleasure.
Y'all have a good one. Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much.
God damn it. Always get a burp and a fart on the cam mic. I haven't gotten one.
This is fucking awesome. Thank you so much, UFO Museum and Research Center, Mark Frisco.
What an impassioned interview. Now, Emily normally doesn't really like doing the podcast, right? But you were throwing some heat at Mark Frisco. You weren't taking some of his answers.
We were just having a lively debate. That was fun.
It was great. And Mark Briscoe, what a great guy. We hugged afterward. He kept, you know, he thanked us for teaching him stuff. We thanked him for teaching us stuff. What a great guy. Check out the Roswell UFO Museum and Research Center. Now, here's the thing. We were having a discussion right before we started recording. Are we worried that, because there's a lot of intense kind of beliefs that we've revealed to you guys, you know, we absolutely hold to them. We're, you know, one could ask, are you a little bit worried now that the CIA is going to come knocking at your door and say, hey, let's take a car ride with, you know, let's tie you up, get in the car, or I'll fucking blow your brains out. You know what I mean? Are you worried about that?
No, I'm not. Because if anyone did come to my door, I would just ask them if they were proud of themselves. The job that they're doing for America, coming to civilians' doors and trying to intimidate them.
All right, hold on. I'm going to be a CIA agent. I'm going to knock on your door and then you show the people how to handle this situation, okay?
Okay. Go away.
Mrs. Hollerbach, CIA.
Oh, hello.
Oh, thank you. We've opened the door now.
Yep.
You've been saying a lot of things that have been upsetting my employers, my overlords.
So? It's a free country.
I like to keep the sheep asleep. Get in the car.
No.
What? I'm a CIA agent. I got a gun and stuff.
This is stupid.
What are you talking about? Go with it.
No, I don't like it.
You gotta shame me.
I don't want to shame you.
Shame me. Say weird stuff.
Bye. Yes?
Oh, Mrs. Hollerbach, hello. I am CIA agent Robert Graves. I'm here.
Hi, Robert.
Hello. Salutations. I'm here because you've said some things that have really upset the powers that are.
Oh, like what?
Well, I can't go into detail. That is national security, but get in the car.
No thanks. Got stuff to do today. Civilian life.
Well, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you again now showing you my gun.
Are you arresting me?
That's national security. Can't tell you that.
Because I have a gun as well.
Whoa. Are you listening?
You're on my property. So get the hell on out of here.
Are you telling me to get off your lawn?
Get off my lawn, sir.
Fair enough. You know, Emily and I would have conversations sometimes on the phone when we were talking about some of this stuff. And maybe I'm paranoid, but sometimes I feel like I would hear a little click. A clicking over, a clicking on, you know, people on the switchboard. And then I would say, oh, I think we're talking about some crazy stuff now, you know. I wonder if, you know, the NSA is listening. You know, they were wiretapping, all those wiretapping scandal with the NSA. Oh, I wonder if they were listening. What would we do?
Bomb, 9/11, Muslim,
Jihad,
bomb,
terrorist, Al-Qaeda,
planning,
explosive, chemical weapon,
I am a terrorist,
just trying to have all their computers scanning our words,
the keywords,
try to say those keywords, and then just start talking about your dick and farting. Like, plug them in, get them all those keywords.
Okay, now, CIA, that I have your attention.
I'd like to reveal my plan now. That's me fucking up a farting ass. That's what that sounds like. You listening, CIA?
Thanks for wasting our tax dollars, CIA.
Yeah, why don't you get a real fucking job instead of scanning what people are having private conversations with? You're just wiretapping because you hear a sequence of fucking algorithms go off.
This is totally jihad. Unconstitutional.
Jihad.
Bomb, New York.
I'm going to explode everything. Everything. Jihad. You're listening now? All right, I took a 9-foot dump once. It was thin, though. They be like, oh, that Gucci, that's hella tight. I'm like, yo, that's $50 for a t-shirt. Limited. Now, speaking of trying to shame the NSA, you have a neighbor, you used to have a neighbor in San Francisco who you would shame, right? Because he would do lewd acts in front of vehicles. Please explain.
No, I didn't shame him.
You didn't shame him? What?
No.
So what happened?
Well, my neighbor, so one morning, Antonio was picking me and Tanya up from my house because Tanya slept over. And it was about 9:30 in the morning, we were on our way to work, we're running late, and my neighbor is outside in front of his garage. And it's very short driveways in San Francisco, so it's like car length driveway, then sidewalk. Garage is on the other side of the car length driveway. My neighbor is standing outside there, and Antonio notices he's acting a little weird.
What do you mean?
Like, he's just standing there and staring, and I don't know, she just, like, something weird is going on over there.
Just, there's a creepy guy hanging out a front stoop, kind of, ugh, bad vibes.
Yeah, well, I guess so, but he's always out there smoking cigarettes, but this time, he pulls down his pants and just starts whacking off.
What? So, and did he walk into the sidewalk?
No, he just stayed in front of his garage.
Oh, okay.
But he was just whacking off, just staring over at us, because we were like, oh my god, what is he doing over there? Ah, it's his wiener. And he's just staring at us. He hears us. He's only about 20 feet away.
Whoa, that's probably encouraging him. He's probably like, he just loves the shock and the horror in people's faces.
Yeah. Yep.
But isn't the thing with those people, if someone tries to masturbate on you or in front of you, that you should try to shame that person, try to make them feel bad for that, what a rude piggy they are. See, I don't think that this would work. I think that this would encourage them. Maybe you should say rude piggy, but you go, don't do that! You are gross! Disgusting! I don't know what you're supposed to say.
I don't know, but I just didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Except for,
He loved that, though.
Then, the next week, we were thinking, maybe he just does this all the time, and I've just never noticed him before. And then we saw him, it was the night before street cleaning day, he was outside whacking off, and then a few minutes later, he just brings out this huge armful of used glistening tissues, and he throws them into the street.
Whoa, so this is the second encounter?
Yeah.
Whoa. So, okay, when you say glistening, what do you mean?
I mean they were glistening.
So there were tissues that were so wet that they were sparkling or like, had been oiled in a way in which...
Glistening.
He threw out some glazed tissues.
Yeah. It looked like if you had poured Elmer's glue all over the tissues.
How many?
And then it dries, it glistens.
You should be... You know, a little flattered. So every rainstorm has a rainbow, right? You should be flattered that he saved up 12 tissues, for you.
I don't know if it was just me. I'm sure it's just any girl walking by.
You think he has got a massive stockpile of tissues behind him that are all glistening?
Oh, do you mean for me to watch him throw these into the street?
Right, because it wasn't the thing the second time you saw it, he was also whacking off and threw out these tissues.
Well, he was whacking off, and then we come back, we go inside my place, and then we come back like 5 minutes later, and then he throws all these tissues into the street.
But I wonder how long it took him to get all those tissues glistening.
I'm thinking he saves them up for the whole week because it was street cleaning day, which happens once a week on that side of the street.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure he just saves them up all week for that day.
But I thought that what I was saying was he wanted to give you a little confetti show of appreciation. Like, look,
oh, no.
I filled up 9 tissues thinking about you screaming at me.
Yeah. No.
You gotta shame these people.
Well, I would have shamed him the next time, but I never saw him do it again, just those 2 times. And then we saw one of the tissues blow across the street, and it hit this girl in the ankle.
No! How old was she?
I don't know. She was,
10 West.
Probably 25. She was not a little girl.
Oh, okay. Oh, God.
But then I was thinking, you know, all this garbage is always blowing around in cities. How much of it has jizz on it?
Yeah, if you get hit in the face with any random tissue, has anyone done a study what percentage is that a cum rag? God damn.
No one's doing the research.
No, you gotta go here to listen to the truth, people. We're gonna broach the question. Call your congressman to get the answer to this.
Yeah.
Emily's driving. I'm trying to look to her like, and she's like, I'm driving, stupid. Fucking fill up the time, asshole. So we just came from Pecos, Texas. We stopped to have lunch there between Roswell and where we're going, Austin.
Pecos, Texas. Home of the first rodeo.
Yeah, well, the sign, as we were going up to Pecos, Texas, the sign said home of the first rodeo. And we kept on trying, is that a Japanese thing that was brought here? But it was the first thing somehow.
Oh, that's what that said.
It was rude, yeah, but then someone, and then you texted it with somebody on the outside.
Right.
And then they informed you it was actually rodeo.
Rodeo.
So the
not
top
rodeo. Rodeo.
Yeah, but the top of the U on the rodeo, the top of that was made. So it was all
there's
kinds
no,
of.
There's no U in rodeo.
That's a good point, Emily. I know. So we went through the town to stop for some lunch. How would you describe Pecos, Texas? Do you recommend it?
No. Never go to Pecos, Texas. Pecos, Texas is the biggest shithole in the United States.
If you live there, you're a very nice person.
No.
Move out.
No, you're not. You're a character from the movie WALL-E.
Okay.
Except instead of those floaty things, you drive around a big truck. And then you sit at Sonic, so you don't have to get up out of your car, and they just bring you food. They just bring you big gulps. And tubs of fries. You are WALL-E movie.
Yeah, so I think that was the first Sonic you've ever seen. That's how all Sonic restaurants are set up.
That is disgusting.
I know, it is crazy. But there was mainly Pecos, Texas had a lot of storefronts that were just giant holes that were not mended, that were just giant holes. And then maybe about 30% of the buildings were actually in use with some level of commerce going on. The Sonic was definitely the most frequented. That place was hopping. And every single car was either an SUV or a truck. And I would say probably 70% of the cars in that town were trucks with nothing in the flatbed, just one idiot driving himself around, driving himself to Sonic, eating himself to death, and not learning much about the world, maybe.
In the trucks, the human beings were no less than 300 pounds, minimum.
Yeah.
Minimum.
I think you're being generous there, Emily. I mean, let's be honest.
That's why they all drive trucks. They can't fit in normal-sized cars.
They were kind of bringing like, buckets of drinks.
Trough. Just fat trough. That was disgusting.
Yeah. Well, we come from a town called Long Valley, and we had a great eating establishment in there called Friendly's. And we already told you a little bit about our dad. Some of the details about him are mysterious. But you do know that one time he peed in front of Emily and put it out the window and it sprayed in her face. But
I didn't see the peeing. I only got sprayed in the face.
All right. Well, what happened at Friendly's?
All right. One time we were at Friendly's, and there's five of us. So there's four in the booth, and then my dad sits on the end in a folding chair. So about, like, I'd say halfway through the meal, he totally forgets that we're in public, and he puts his arm up like he's gonna make a truck honk.
Well, hang on, wait. I was asking him something stupid, right? So I forget what it was, but it was something that would already establish I didn't listen or something like this. And I was like, Dad, what's the deal with that? And he just, in response to that, puts his arm up and just
rips ass.
Choo-choo! And just kaboom! In the middle, this restaurant is Friendly's in Hackettstown, New Jersey.
It was about the only game in town before the Applebee's.
Yeah, the Applebee's kind of is good. They're giving them some heat for the business, right?
Yeah.
Because they're selling beer, I think. That's mainly their thing.
But it was the biggest fart I ever heard.
Holy shit. The cook in the back was like, okay?
Yeah, it was nuts.
I think the windows rattled.
Yeah.
The whole restaurant goes dead silent. And everyone looks over. And then some people are laughing. Some people are aghast. But my whole family...
What was his name? Mr. Greraholtz, our health teacher, was there.
Oh, was he?
Oh, yeah! And Jason Greraholtz, his whole family, they're just there. Then they just walk by the fumes as my dad is beat red because
he
farted in fucking public and totally forgot where he was for a second. They just thought he can do that. Oh, I can just go choo-choo and blow a fart that's going to shake the windows, and that's cool.
We didn't go out that often for dinner.
He was used to getting away with this kind of torture.
But this happened regularly.
He would always do this at dinner. This was not,
That wasn't the difference.
That wasn't the difference. The difference is other people saw it.
The whole town, basically.
Basically. There was a little newspaper article.
It was hilarious, though.
It was a local newspaper.
I think I laughed for like 10 minutes.
Yeah. That, well.
I almost threw up. My mom was so embarrassed.
Yeah.
Mom was so embarrassed.
Oh, my God.
But she was laughing, too.
She didn't go out in public for like 2 months after that because she did not. She knew the questions that were going to be coming out of people's mouths.
It's a small town.
What's the deal with that fart in your ass? 10 days ago.
Friendlies. People are eating.
Yeah. It's a family restaurant packed with families. Very family-friendly town. Oh, my God. Sorry, Dad, but that did happen.
Totally happened. I'll tell a mom fart one.
Oh yeah, go for it.
Okay, one time I came home, and mom was standing over the sink, holding tea bags over her eyes, and I walk in, I'm like, "What the fuck are you doing?" And she starts laughing, because she knows how ridiculous that she looks, and then she starts farting.
You just walk in, she looks like she's got two, like, pieces of shit on her face because it's two, like, black tea
bags. I didn't
know
what it was. It was just brown bags. And she just standing, she's, like, leaning over the sink.
Just shit-eyed.
Because they're dripping on her face. And she says, ripping ass. And so that makes me laugh more, which makes her laugh more. And so the farts just continue, but it's just, like, along with her laugh. Now they're like, it was the funniest thing I've ever
seen. Oh, my God. You see a shit-eyed mom farting for...
That was hilarious.
Oh, my God.
The teabags are funny enough.
I know. Just looking at your mom getting teabagged in a humorous and ironic detached way.
That's right.
It's just like, what are you doing? Apparently, she had heard that if you take... Well, my mom is careful with money, all right? She likes to pinch a penny here and there. And, she had some tea... And she's not going to use fresh tea bags for this because...
She didn't want to waste the tea.
No, you're not going to waste tea around mom.
She heard it reduces dark eyes under the circle.
Yes, raccoon
dark
eyes.
Dark circles under the eyes.
Right. You hold them over your eyes while settling over a sink.
Right.
Your daughter comes in, you start farting, your raccoon eyes are gone.
Oh, man.
You had an interesting work experience. I know... Because we guys battered you with so much politics at the top of the hour, we're trying to keep it a little looser here, talking about shitty, farty, caca, because that's what's fun and funny to us, because we're children. But you worked at a toilet bowl company at one point.
Yeah, I did. My first job out of college.
Can I say the name of the place?
No, I don't want to give them any plugs.
Okay. Terrible people. Go on.
The product was awesome. I actually got to say, the product was awesome.
So what is the product? What do they sell here?
A flapperless toilet. So the water goes into a bucket in the tank of the toilet. You push the handle, tips over the bucket, and the water goes down. So it saves water because it's not leaking through the faulty flapper at the bottom. Awesome.
Great. Very water-efficient toilet.
Yeah.
Perfect. So you're working here, and didn't you have to do trade demonstrations?
I was in the marketing department, and part of the job was to organize trade shows, one of which was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which is why I was in that place before. But one of the demo toilets that we had was the toilet's on this big box of water, and you put the water in the toilet, it flushes down into this big box at the bottom.
So at these conventions, though, there's a lot of toilet bowl companies kind of compete for business.
Right,
you've got to have a little show.
Right.
What kind of trick does your toilet do to get me to buy it?
Okay, well, one thing that we tested was how many golf balls could we fit down the toilet. So one day, and I remember doing this thinking, I can't believe this is my job. I had to go to Walmart and buy, like, 20 boxes of golf balls and then flush them down the toilet and count how many came out the bottom.
So wait, and in the, well, you would use the plumbing of the convention center?
No, the demo toilet that we had.
Oh, right, so it has its own system.
Yeah.
So how many, for the record, how many golf balls did this toilet that was flapperless sink?
I don't remember actually exactly, but I think it was about 50.
50?
I think so. That might be too many.
Well, I remember when you were first telling me about this, you were also saying, did you flush other stuff, you know?
So we also, it was actually common at the convention, all the toilet companies have these demo poos.
Which
is just miso paste in a plastic bag. And then you see how many of those you can flush down the toilet.
I think if my mom worked there, she would not want to waste the miso paste.
Right, she would use it for dinner that night.
She would, you know, make a poo.
She would say, it's not real poo.
I can't waste good poo.
I can make soup out of this.
This is good. I'm going to pinch this miso paste and pinch a loaf into a bag for the demo. Ugh. Then I'm going to save the bag.
Our mom was not afraid of poo either. She used to just, when our little brother Kevin pooed himself in his diaper.
Yeah,
just stick her fingers in it. Just check it for poo. Like, you could just.
Some people, I think some moms, smell, use their eyes, kind of pull the diaper back a little bit. She went, boom, finger.
No reservations.
I'm testing for moisture now.
No reservations. Dug right in there.
That's real. Smell it. I love you, Mom. You're very comfortable with poo.
She would give Kevin a dirty Sanchez.
You know, when it was Cinco de Mayo, it was, you know, festival.
What?
During Cinco de Mayo, they would give it dirty Sanchez. It was festive.
Oh. Is that what they do on Cinco de Mayo?
Give each other dirty Sanchez's?
Yeah.
In Mexico?
Is that how the holiday started?
Yeah, of course. Now it makes sense?
Got
you're
it.
So ignorant of other cultures. That's why we're doing this road trip, you know?
Right, yeah. I'm learning a lot on this road trip.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm learning about wizards and soup by trannies.
I still want to stay.
Aliens.
Look, sometimes, if you give a guy a joint, you have a joint with a guy, you're allowed to later on say hello and then have him go, oh, I just, it's cool. We just met having a joint. It's cool, you know. Instead of, he's not saying anything. I got a soup by tranny right in my face, yelling at me, accusing me of all sorts of things.
Do you think you could have taken that soup by tranny?
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Yeah, there's no way.
Holy shit. Well, I think... 290 minimum. 290 and solid.
You could have outrun her, though.
Maybe. Yeah, that's true.
And then you'd have to jump in the river. But I have slippers, Dookie Brown leather jacket that I found. Dig it. They had a broken keyboard.
I bought a broken keyboard. I bought a ski blanket. Then I bought a kneeboard. Hello. I have one more story about poo. And I'm not sure if you know the story, Emily. But there was one time where I used the last of the toilet paper up in Long Valley at that house, and, you know, there was no more. I just used, and then I went, you know, that terrible feeling, then you have to go look through the cabinets, look through the covers, oh God, go, is there any, and then
that are so stuffed with shit.
Yeah.
Just like little like half bottles of shampoo.
I gotta save this for later.
Just
one like Q-tip in a cereal huge box, 150
cereal box toys, all sorts of shit that's half used and covered in hair and dust.
That my dad just is always like, I want to get rid of this shit. And then now they live in separate houses. So I was looking through all the cabinets, looking for my toilet paper, didn't see any. It was messy. I had a situation. I knew if I put my underwear back on and ran somewhere that I was going to have shitty underwear. I didn't want to explain that. So the option I went for, I don't know if any of you have been in this pinch, is I took the cardboard itself and I kind of started breaking it up a bit. And then I used that. And then I was embarrassed, and I'm like, well, if I put this in the garbage, someone's going to find a shitty toilet roll and immediately go, uh-huh, I'm Sherlock Holmes. He ran out of toilet paper. And
so what'd you do with it?
So I just hid it behind the hamper.
What?
I just hid it there.
Ew.
And then I think Dad asked me about it, like, 5 days later.
Ew.
And I was like, psh, it wasn't nothing. I don't, it wasn't nothing. What? Did you do it? Psh, it wasn't.
Okay,
it wasn't
I have
nothing.
An embarrassing story.
Yes!
From when I was in, American Indian. No, Indian Princesses.
Indian Princesses.
So Indian Princesses is just like Girl Scouts, only with your dad. And so when it's like camping in a lodge.
You're a 16th American Indian.
I am a 16th American Indian, which is why I was happy to get in touch with my roots on this little getaway. Fathers and daughters.
Okay.
There's candle making, there's gun shooting, there's, you know, bows and arrows, that sort of thing. But we were all in this cabin, and there was a dad's cabin and then the girl's cabin. And apparently I had diarrhea because I thought I was going to fart, and it ended up a big old shark.
Yeah.
And so I was like, uh-oh. So I took off my underwear, I put it in the garbage in the bathroom, cleaned all up. I just went commando. Then
you just put your pants back on. You're cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm thinking, you know, problem solved.
Okay, at some point I'll get back to a place where I'll have underwear.
No one noticed. It's all good. In the clear.
Right.
Then one of the dads comes out, goes in later, I guess I'm sure the bathroom just smells like rotten shit.
Rotten shitty underwear.
Yeah. So he finds it.
He's looking for a dead squirrel that's been there 2 weeks.
He holds it up in front of everyone and goes,
oh, God.
Whose underwear is this?
Oh, no.
Is someone sick? Whose underwear is this?
Oh, no.
Just tell me who it is and we'll get you some help.
Oh, my God.
I don't say anything. I just let him keep calling out, whose underwear is this? I don't say anything. Then on the way home, Dad is like, I can't believe that he's doing that. That poor girl, she must have been so embarrassed. And I said, that was me. And he just said, well, good for you for keeping your mouth shut.
It is, what an asshole for just trying to out someone in front of, who shit their pants in front of their peers?
Who's going to say, oh, that was me. Now I'm the girl who shit her pants.
Yeah, it was me. Who wants to be called fucking shitty panties for a 2-hour bus trip back to fucking civilization?
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah.
What? There was one. Oh, man. So, I'm a yuppie little douchebag. When I was in middle school, I was in ski club. And there was one shit story. Now, we had a charter bus, and on a charter bus, there's a bathroom in the back, right? And I remember there was one girl on ski club who would be in the charter bus, and she got famous. Now, I can't reveal this person's name for legal reasons. Also, probably because I don't even remember this person's name. I've narrowed it down to about three
people. Actually famous or notorious in our school?
Notorious in the school.
Okay.
And if Facebook would be around, there would be a web series about this.
Well, what happened?
Well, here's the thing. She went into the bathroom and she would always take a butter knife with her.
What?
A butter knife. And then, and it fell out of her purse once. And then her friend went up to her and said, what the hell do you have a butter knife for? And it was her best friend. And so she goes, I will tell you, but do not ever speak this ever in your life. She goes, okay. And then she goes, I use this butter knife because when I shit, I have this condition where I make like wooden logs. And in order for them to flush at most facilities, I have to break them apart, chop them up with this butter knife.
Oh my God.
Now, the fact that I'm telling you this story, that one secret was a little bit too juicy for a girl in 7th grade.
How did she?
And within 24 hours, there was a new story in the school newspaper.
How could she expect her to keep that in?
Oh, my God. Without taking a butter knife with her.
Oh, my God. Okay, one time in college.
Here we go.
This is my most embarrassing fart story. One time in college, I was helping my roommate move out, and I was carrying an armful of blankets and pillows so I couldn't see in front of me. And in Scranton, Pennsylvania, the drains are, like, they dip down into the road. There's no grate over the top. It's not flat like it is in New Jersey. They dip down.
And hang on a sec. Al-Qaeda, weapons of mass destruction.
Bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, bomb, bomb, bomb. Al-Qaeda, CIA.
Planning.
Okay, go on.
So I step down into the grate. I twist my ankle. I drop everything. I'm holding up my leg up to my chest because I'm rocking back and forth and just ripping ass.
Oh, no.
Just back and forth.
You hurt your ankle. You couldn't help it.
And I'm screaming, oh, my God. That hurts so bad.
Who's around?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Who's around?
Everyone. The sidewalk is full of people. There was my roommate.
Oh,
her dad was there helping her move out. My other roommates. Just strangers. All crowding around saying, can I help you? Can I help you?
The local college radio station is there with a microphone.
Yeah.
Care to make a comment? Ow! Ow!
I can't even help it. I had to go. Like, I mean, I had to fart before that. And then I'm just in raging ankle pain. And, you know, I just want to cuddle my ankle and make it feel better, but it's just making me rock back and forth in agony and uncontrollable gas explosions.
Oh, my God. Are you listening, CIA? Are you feeling good about yourself? Are you feeling good?
For shame.
Shame on you for listening to this. Shame on you for getting paid a salary to sit in some cubicle somewhere. Oh, you're a big, tough law enforcer. This is what law enforcement's for. Sitting there in a cubicle listening to people taking notes on what... on. Oh, my God, they're saying something anti-American. Go, 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 go. Fucking jerking the fucking Uncle Sam to death.
This is where Eric and I differ.
I always end a joke in a hand job, a blow job, sucking Satan's cock.
So. Yeah. Or just blowing people's heads off.
Yeah. I'm extreme. You should watch some of my dreams.
I don't want to see
It's just like
dreams.
The Zapruder film over and over again.
The what?
Gandhi getting shot when you saw JFK's head getting blown off.
Oh, God.
And then hand jobs. That's about 40% of every dream is just hand jobs. Thank you for listening to Highway Diary. I've been your host, Eric Hollerbach.
And Emily Hollerbach, a.k.a. Tiger Bomb.
A.k.a. Wow. No, sorry. Go again.
Wow.
Whoa, sassy. A.k.a. the Eagle. Caw-caw! This has been episode 11, Roswell, New Mexico. Thank you very much, Mark Briscoe.
Thanks, Mark Briscoe.
All right. Bye. That's another episode of Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. Roswell, New Mexico. Crazy shit. Anyway, want to throw some dates by you? Got a stand-up show at Flappers, Friday 22nd, 2013 at 9:30 in the Yoo-Hoo Room. Also, another show Sunday, March 10th, 2013, 7 p.m. Flappers, Yoo-Hoo Room. Also, Damien Shadows, we're going to launch that shit on Funny or Die 420 2013. And believe me when I tell you, Damien Shadows is fucking bananas. So check that out. You think this episode's over? I just got one more thing for you. Me and Devin Murphy, in honor of Roswell, New Mexico, lay down some shit.
Yo, I'm from the CIA. Fill out a form and give a statement. Yo, give a statement.
Take me up in your mothership. Yo, alien technology. That's legit. Thanks, alien. Yo, crib ain't bad. Got more blinking lights and shit than my pad. Yo, what's your alien religion? Cool alien robe. Yo, I'm not gay. That might hurt a smidgen. Put down that probe. Advanced technology. No angry mobs. Fucking telepathy. And robot blow jobs. I thought to myself as I fucked an alien type. Shit, L. Ron Hubbard got a lot of shit right.
Yo, I'm from the CIA. Fill out a form and give a statement. Yo, give a statement.
Well, if aliens exist, tell me this. Do they push your buttons? Do they match your lovin' and the night with lots of touching? You tell yourself, it's just a kiss. He wouldn't want my number. He wouldn't take me somewhere up in space alone or something. But look at this. Like a wish, he comes to church on Sunday morning, takes your hand and hands you something. A ring. It sings the spaceman theme. You can't believe it's not a dream. But spaceman's real. Spaceman's real and he's very unhappy. He's got a lot of shit.
Yo, fill out your address in the first box.